All right, we are in page, oh, wrong one here. Here we go. New chapter. Chapter 37, page 593, if you have the book of The Great Controversy, of course. And it starts off with Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, one of my favorites, which is to the law and the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. The title of this chapter is The Scriptures, a Safeguard. Oh, perfect timing. It's kind of like what we were, you know, like I was saying in regards to the deacon thing earlier. It was right there in the word. So, the people of God, she says, are directed to the Scriptures as their safeguard against the influence of false teachers and the delusive power of spirits of darkness. Satan employs every possible device to prevent men from obtaining a knowledge of the Bible, for its plain utterances reveal his deceptions. This is why the NIV's got thousands of verses missing, right? And she says, at every revival of God's work, the prince of evil is aroused to more intense activity. He is now putting forth his utmost efforts for the final struggle against Christ and his followers. And again, this is over 100 years ago, so he's really kicking it up a notch now. And this is why you see, you know, everybody's got, you know, a theater in their pocket now. You can watch the most disgusting movies you want to watch on your cell phone now. So the devil's doing everything he can to keep people distracted. And when it comes to the Bible, well, if you've ever done I should do this study. I always talk about it. The defiled bread prophecy. It's from the Old and the New Testament, where it was prophesied that the Word of God would be trampled underfoot, and it would be twisted up and torn apart and ripped up and shredded. But we saw what went down with the two witnesses. There was one Bible that was protected during that time. That was the King James Bible, before the punctuation was added, of course. And there was no Apocrypha in it. That was the one Bible that was protected during that time. They burned all the rest. And, of course, after that, the Bible societies, after the two witnesses, the Old and New Testament stood forth, and they brought it back into society because everything was just plain anarchy. The Bible societies began, and then Bible was printed all around the world. And to this day, it's the number one top seller, bestseller. Yeah, you can go into Barnes & Noble's and you'll never see. But when you look at a top 10 seller list in Barnes & Noble's or any of these other bookstores, you're actually looking at the top 11. They're lying. They're saying that the top 10 is the, you know, books that they have there. And I noticed this years ago because they used to have a problem with always putting the top 10 list in their stores. Because always they had to put at the top of the list the Bible. The Bible was always the top seller in every single solitary store ever since it started being printed. Or stores started offering it in that way. And I guess the embarrassment or the hatred of it got to them and they removed it. I mean, think about it. You walk into the store and you see it, you know, the top 10 list, and you see right on the top it says the Bible, and underneath you got all these disgusting titles and these evil, scary horror flicks from Stephen King that are, they start off as novels and become movies later. So, anyway. So that's another distraction. That's how the devil puts forth that final struggle against Christ and his followers. And that's another reason why it's good to get the TV out of your house and drop those novels. Stop reading them. Because, or even your science fiction magazines or comic books or whatever the case may be. Or even the videos, like sitcom stuff or whatever. My thing was like a special effects movies. I like the artwork because I used to get into morphing technology when I was doing the wedding videos with a friend. But the thing is, when I first started reading the Bible, it was boring to me because there was no shoot 'em up, bag 'em up. There were no special effects. But now that I haven't watched a movie in decades, it's like it's all I can do to get to that couch every morning to bounce and read my Bible because it's the most amazing truths in there. Even though I've read it so many times over and over and over again, it's like you're there. You know, like if you really get into it and just read it and just savor every bite. It's really amazing. And it'll take, you know, especially if you're a babe in Christ and you just stopped watching the movies, you'll notice how it'll take a little while, but it'll happen rather quickly when you make the decision, though. It's just like when I became a non-smoker, bam, instantly, I was a non-smoker, you know, but that decision had to finally come, you know. Yeah, and video games, too, yeah. Video games are just like movies. That's why a lot of kids go and Like a lot of these guys, there's two issues that they all have that come in, they shoot up schools or shoot up theaters. Number one, they're on some kind of a mind-altering drug, just like the prophecy said, you know, the pharmakia thing. And then they're hardcore blood and guts video game players, you know. So they were so good at it in the video game, they want to go into a theater or into a school and see how good they can get it, you know. And then all of a sudden when they realize what they did, they kill themselves. It's just disgusting how the demons have that much control over people. But if you don't read your Bible, you know. She says, the last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures. I mean, how many times have we been repeating that in this church family? And I'm not the only one that repeats it. You want to be ready for what's happening? You open that book. That's why it was written. By their testimony, she says, every statement and every miracle must be tested. You know, like the Bereans in Acts chapter 10, I believe it is. You know, they opened up their Bibles to see whether those things were so. I mean, the Christian church was new. You know, they were used to going to synagogues, and all of a sudden you hear these guys talking about Jesus Christ, and they're stepping outside the synagogues, and they're having church meetings in their homes, just like we're having now, by the way. Church is going to end in the homes. Why? Well, it's a lot harder to infiltrate in the home. And he's got us scattered for a reason. This is why he revealed to us, even before the internet came, that we were going to be meeting like this. I mean, because, you know, how effective would the loud cry be if God's people that were going to go forth to proclaim it are all from one little church in one little area? I'm not saying we're the only ones doing it, you know, in regards to the loud cry. But hopefully we are part of that number. She goes on, she says, those who endeavor to obey all the commandments of God will be opposed and derided. They can stand only in God. In order to endure the trial before them, they must understand the will of God is revealed in his word. They can honor him only as they have a right conception of his character, government, and purposes, and act in accordance with them. So, let's say you're yanked behind bars for doing something the government says you must do, but you can't because you know what the Bible says. Would you have fear? No way. Why would you? You're doing exactly what the prophecy says his people would do in these last days. When you have him, when you're standing with him, when you have him standing behind you, when you have that hedge of angels around you, and you know you're there for your faith. Oh man, that's just, you know, I can only imagine how the blessings are going to be coming from on high. I can, because then you'll understand why they were singing in prisons, you know, Peter and Silas. It just, and you can also understand, you're not to, who was it last week? One of the brothers was mentioning how when he had to stand in front of the magistrates, how it was truly the way the Bible said it would be. You don't rehearse in advance. The Lord will give it to you when you're standing there. And it did, and it happened like that. But it would not have been possible had he not read the Bible. I mean, John 14:26 has a certain stipulation involved. You have to have at least read the Bible once, you know? Otherwise, how can he bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you unless he said it? You got to at least read it, because that's when he speaks, or how he speaks to us. Well, that's one way. So going on, she says, none but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. To every soul will come the searching test. Shall I obey God rather than men? Acts 5:29, right? She says, the decisive hour is even now at hand. Are our feet planted on the rock of God's immutable word? Are we prepared to stand firm in defense of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus? Let me ask you this. Let's say they roll a guillotine into the room. Or even, you know, a stack of wood. They're going to burn you at the stake, let's say. And you have a decision to make. Are you going to burn alive? or are you going to deny Christ? Now, you know what I know how evil the Roman Catholic priests are? They would give people an option. If you denounce Christ, we won't burn you at the stake. We'll just strangle you. Or sometimes they wouldn't even tell them that. They'd say that we're going to let you go. And then when they'd say, okay, you denounce Christ, you can go, and they'd kill them anyway. The demons in them wanted to guarantee a trophy on the trophy case for hell. They would lie. I mean, think about this. You're dealing with people that worship Satan. His native tongue is to lie. So how could you trust him in anything they say? No matter how many Bible verses they use. I mean, look at Satan. When Jesus was in, after the desert, after he got done fasting those 40 days. I mean, the devil was throwing scripture around left and right. You know, but if you're not in your Bible, you'll fall for it. This is how denominations are formed. You know, they make up some creed and it becomes their gospel and that's it. They don't want to, you know, and if the Bible steps off, you know, like if the Bible doesn't agree with what their creed is saying, they'll just rip the Bible verse out. It's ridiculous. And even when you show them, because some of them actually went so far as to say 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 should be removed from the Bible. That's one of the thousands of them, right? That one says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the reason they want that removed is because they don't believe the Holy Ghost exists and Jesus isn't God to them. So you got to remove that Bible verse. But here's the sad part of it all. About 6 months ago, I came across a video from Dr. Kyle Baugh, who has purchased a manuscript that was used in regards to the King James translation, which specifically states clearly that 1 John 5:7 was supposed to be in the Bible. And when you share that with them, they just turn their head and walk away. Because if they had the chance, they'd rip it out of that manuscript too. Because the lie is where their comfort zone is. So she goes on, before his crucifixion, the Savior explained to his disciples that he was to be put to death and to rise again from the tomb. And angels were present to impress his words on minds and hearts. But the disciples were looking for temporal deliverance from the Roman yoke. And they could not tolerate the thought that he, in whom all their hopes centered, should suffer an ignominious death. And this is one of the reasons Judas walked off. Especially after Jesus bowed down and washed his feet. Judas thought, well, this guy can't be king. You know, Sister White actually goes into detail about that. How could he be king? He walked away. And that's when he made that final decision. That was the last straw. I was happened to be reading it the other day. That's why I remember it so well. But she says the words, well, actually, it's John 14:26 on that toss, too, because she does write inspired writings. So the words which they needed to remember were banished from their minds, and when the time of the trial came, it found them unprepared. The death of Jesus has fully destroyed their hopes as if he had not forewarned them. So again, stay in your Bibles. Yeah, he definitely has a lot of ways to deceive, to manipulate. She says, so in the prophecies, the future is open before us as plainly as it was opened to the disciples by the word of Christ. And see, that's another thing that gets me, especially with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, who had, Capernaum, who had the truth, understood prophecy left and right. The ninth hour was obvious. I mean, it was just rock solid truth. I mean, it was, you couldn't shake a stick at it. It was just amazing. It was just bam, 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 exposing, you know, the Antichrist and the three angels' message. It was boldly proclaimed, and people were coming in left and right. And now they actually helped create an image of the beast, or call Allah God, or say the homosexual marriage is okay, or say that you could ordain women, or run for president, for that matter. And the Bible should be on the second shelf with the Constitution above it. That's what Ben Carson said, more or less, when he wouldn't defend the Bible. I did a video about that, as a matter of fact. So, the prophecy of the future are opened up before us, and they're plainly opened up. And yet, even though this church understood this and preached it and taught it, and you have Ellen White's writings from that church, well, from God, but they hold on to it, and they've been ripping her writings to shreds ever since. But they still don't catch how plainly they're ignoring basic truths. And this is why I had to literally make a form letter in response to people that send me emails saying that you shouldn't call the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon because Sister White said so. Or you shouldn't start a new denomination because she said so. I says, well, if you read her writings and if you read your Bible instead of reading your pastor, you would know she never said that. For today's world. As a matter of fact, she said numerous times that the church would end up in apostasy and become a sister to fallen Babylon. But because they never read her writings and only read what the pastor says from his pulpits, who specifically leaves out those Bible verses and those spirit of prophecy statements, they believe what he has to say. And so they always say the same thing. So I send them a form letter saying, well, here's where you're going to find in her writings, and here's where you're going to find in the scriptures. There you go. Because I got sick and tired of answering those emails. I just copy and paste now. I learned my lesson from the Catholics. Because they used to do the same thing to me. They would ask the same question using different words or whatever. And I would, and they would know that it would take me 2 or 3 days of studies with some of these whopper questions. Because some of these guys were theologians messing with me. And so I would do the study, but I would keep it. I wouldn't just email it and forget about it. No, I'd store it. That's how more or less how the website started, because all my studies just became pages. I just put them on the site. So, she goes on. The events connected with the close of probation and the work of preparation for the time of trouble are clearly presented. But if you don't read your Bible, it's as clear as fog. I mean, you can see a little bit, but day much. So, clearly presented. But, she says, multitudes have no more understanding of these important truths than if they had never been revealed. I remember when we were doing the Fire Talk thing years ago, we started back when the audio chats were first invented, bam, we were doing online church. And I remember a bunch of people come up and says, we never heard this before. This is amazing. Where did you get all this information? And this was years before I even know who Ellen White was, right? And I go, well, what's your denomination? And they go, Seventh-day Adventist. I says, this is your message. Because I found some studies from some old Seventh-day Adventist pioneers or something like that, I guess, some Bible studies. And they didn't mention Ellen White at all. And I just did some more studies. I did like the Berean did, and I just dug, and got deeper and deeper and deeper. And then the Lord put me in that chat room. I says, you got to be kidding me. You've been in, and some of these people are in their 30s and 40s and 50s. I says, man, they have stopped preaching this, haven't they? He says, yeah, ain't none of our churches have it. There are some still that do it. The conservative, well, they say they're conservative, but they still have the 501c3 as well. But it's like they have never been revealed to some of these people. She says, Satan watches to catch away every impression that would make them wise unto salvation, and the time of trouble will find them unready. This is why Jeremiah 8:20 was written. That's a pretty blunt passage right there. I mean, you can't... I mean, these are, like I always say, these are the people that be weeping, and the ones that are gnashing their teeth, I would think they're like the guys that are into power. Oh, man, look at that city. We could have been controlling that. But Jeremiah says, the harvest passed, the summer is ended, we're not saved. In other words, they know. They should have been saved. These Christians are the ones. It's going to be Christians that say that, make that statement at the end. A non-believer would never say that. Seriously. Why? They never believed in the first place. They're the ones going to be gnashing their teeth. It's the one that's weeping. The ones that are weeping are going to be saying that. So, when God sends to men warnings so important that they are represented as proclaimed by holy angels flying in the midst of heaven, he requires every person endowed with reasoning powers to heed the message. The fearful judgments denounced against the worship of the beast and his image in Revelation 14, verses 9 and 11 should lead all to a diligent study of the prophecies to learn what the mark of the beast is and how they are to avoid receiving it. I mean, you're locked in the Seventh-day Adventist Church now. With the 501c3, you're locked in. Probation's already closed on the church, not the people yet, but the church. There's no way around it. They're going to have to keep Sunday holy, or they're going to lose their 501c3 status. And then get millions and millions of dollars of excise and penalty taxes. Because for decades, actually since 1860, well, I think it was 1887, Sister White was in Australia or something like that, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church actually formed what's similar to a 501c3. Some street preacher sent me some documentation on this. I've never got finished reading it because it's long. I want to make sure I read it cover to cover to make sure before I put it on the SDAapostasy.org site, as well as that information I got about Ben Carson receiving the skull and bones honor from George W. Bush on camera. I want to make sure, well, it's just a picture, but I got the article. I got to make sure everything's, I don't want to, you know, put it on the website unless I know for a fact it's verifiable, and I haven't had time to do it. I'm hoping he doesn't get in office and I won't have to do it, you know. Because, I mean, you know, he purports to be a like-minded brother. That's what irks me the most. I mean, if he was just a Baptist, yeah, go ahead, run. I don't care. I'm not going to vote for you anyway. But like-minded brother, you're going to damage the message. You're supposed to be a Sabbath keeper. What are you going to be doing this Sabbath if you're president? Planning on killing somebody, right? Because that's your job. So, she goes on. But the masses of the people turn away their ears from hearing the truth and are turned onto fables. The Apostle Paul declared, looking down to the last days, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. I mean, there's a huge list of these out there now. You know, Jesus isn't God, Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or Trinity doctrine, or seven-year trib, or secret rapture, eternal life in hellfire, infant baptism. I mean, it's just off the chart. There's so much garbage out there that none of it's from Scripture. You can't find it in the Bible. And she says over 100 years ago that time has fully come. The multitudes do not want the Bible truth because it interferes with the desires of the sinful world-loving heart, and Satan supplies the deceptions which they love. And again, over 100 years ago. But you got to also keep in mind, I did a thing on this. It's in the People Get Ready. You know that one statement that Daniel makes in Daniel chapter 12 in regards to in the last days, people will run to and fro, and knowledge shall be advanced? Well, before the end times began, it took, and I actually got an original quote on this, and I can't remember the entire thing from memory, but I got the source and everything on. It's in the book, People Get Ready. The guy said something to this effect that you could till a field, a wheat field. It took It took just as long to till a wheat field in the days of King David than it did at the turn of the century. But now he didn't know about the end time prophecy of Daniel, you know, the 2300 years. He just said after a specific date when the steam engine was invented, everything got off the chart. It did. And these are the days that Ellen White is growing up. Things are being invented left and right. And you know, back then that was amazing. And even today, yeah, we've had all of these creature comforts for decades. You know, some of us your entire life, because some of you are kind of young. I can remember when I was a kid, we didn't have a TV. I mean, it was invented, but we couldn't afford it. And the first TV you got was black and white. Rotary phones. We didn't have no push button. We certainly didn't have cell phones. You know, and the cars were, you could literally hit them with a hammer as hard as you could and you wouldn't dent it. Everything was very well built. No one was worried about, you know, I mean, they were worried about making a profit, but they weren't going crazy like they are today. And, but still, as I grew up, I saw things, and we all saw things that just went off the chart. I like the times that I grew up because it went from almost nothing to computer age. Some of you guys were born in the computer age, and so I can only imagine what you're going to see if the Lord tarries in this coming much longer. Holograms that you can marry? Because, I mean, hey, look what they're doing now. Three guys just got married in Sweden. Three men. Got married, or a civil union, because they're pushing for real marriage, when in fact all they're going to do is destroy it, just like the prophecy said. They'll be marrying wives and given in marriage, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, right? So going on, but God will have a people upon the earth to maintain the Bible, and the Bible only, as the standard of all doctrines and the basis of all reforms. The opinions of learned men, the deductions of science, the creeds of or decisions of ecclesiastical councils, as numerous and discordant as are the churches, which they represent, you know, thousands, denominations she's talking about, the voice of the majority even, not one nor all of these should be regarded as evidence for or against any point of religious faith. Before accepting any doctrine or precept, we should demand a plain, thus saith the Lord, in its support. How would Ben Carson answer to that when, if he were asked again, after reading that statement, now does the Constitution still sit above the Bible? Is that a difficult question to answer? No, it's not. The Bible is above everything. It's the Word of God. It's, you know, Jesus Christ in the flesh. It was, he's the Word made, you know, the Word made in the flesh, rather. She says, Satan is constantly endeavoring to attract attention to man in the place of God. He leads the people to look to bishops, to pastors, to professors of theology as their guides, instead of searching the scriptures to learn the duty for themselves. Again, how can they say this woman's not a prophet? This is what she's explaining here is what I call pastor echoes. Because people are only reading their bishops, their pastors, their professors of theology, and their guides instead of searching the scriptures. They want to hear what the pastor has to say in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's why those weird emails keep coming with the exact same quotes out of context every time. It's like they're all talking to the same guy. No. Well, yeah, in a way they are. Even though it's all these different pastors, they're all under one same leader. If they're all intertwined with the same Jesuits that have infiltrated in, you know, the GC. It's just like with, I remember when I was a kid growing up, the Catholic Church, they had these missalettes, they call them, or missals, depends on, you know, if you had money. I had a missal. My dad got me my own missal for my first Holy Communion. I was 10 years old. And, or you can just use the missalette that was in the pew, and every month it changed. Because it was a word for word what the sermon was going to be about each week or each day, because the Catholic Church has daily mass. I went to daily mass for the last year or two that I was in there because I was really getting heavy into wanting to please the Lord until I actually opened up a Bible and says, well, I guess I'm not pleasing you now, am I? So I got out. But a missal is just like the missalettes, only all year, the whole year, all 12 months. And so I could pick any day, you know, just pick April 21st. It doesn't even have to be a Sunday. You're going to know exactly what the sermon topic is. You're going to know exactly what to say, when to put your amens, when to kneel, when to stand, when to sit. It's all right there, all already, you know, stamped for you. It's just ridiculous. It's calisthenics. We used to call it holy calisthenics. That's all it is. Well, that's just the same thing they do in the SDA church. Not very many, and all the Protestant churches do this too, and there's websites. I actually found out recently that there's actually websites out there where they store thousands and thousands and thousands of sermon ideas. Well, not just sermon ideas, the whole sermon. I mean, they're all Sunday keepers, of course, but you can't use any of those sermons. Their doctrines and their theology is way out in left field. But because I read a couple of them just out of curiosity, says, where are these guys coming from? And, oh, this is just all bad news. But you can see this as well with the Seventh-day Adventist church where they're, you know, the one pastor is going to say one thing in California, let's say, and the same thing is going to be said in New York. They're going to be on the same page. They have to be. They're in the General Conference. So she goes on, then by controlling the minds of these leaders, he can influence the multitudes according to his will. See, with the Protestants, they can only go so, you know, what they, the ones that call themselves Protestants, we're all supposed to be. But, especially with the smaller denominations, they have to rely on the ability to have like a 20,000 seat church like Joel Osteen. And what I mean by that is it's a lot easier to control the masses if you just get them all to come into the church at one time each week. But Willow Creek learned their lesson. You know, the guy that used to hang out with Bill Clinton, his name is Bill Hybels. He owns and runs the Willow Creek thing. And Willow Creek, their methods on how they preach and teach is actually adopted in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I have the documentation on SDAApostasy.org, and I actually put it in a video. They're actually using the Sunday Keepers' method of preaching and neurolinguistic programming to, you know, to bring the people in. And this is why I was saying about the smaller churches that only have, like, say, 20,000 members, and they all pack them into one church like Olsteen does, right? Even though they're from all different denominations, they just like to go to his church because he's fun to listen to, I guess. And but with the SDA church or the Catholic church or any other church that has a, you know, a more of a global reach, they can just make sure that all the pastors are on the same page. Kind of like with Kenneth Copeland did at that one meeting when he said that they all said, all those pastors that were at that meeting, when the Pope talked to Kenneth Copeland on the camera, they all said that they're Roman Catholic. So that he knew for a fact that those thousands and thousands of pastors were going to go out there and push the same page agenda to every one of their church members around the world. And they all have got 3,000 and 4,000 seat churches. And so you spread the error all around like that, and it's a lot easier for them to control it. And then she says, then by controlling the minds of the leaders, he can influence the multitudes according to his will. So when Christ came to speak the words of life, the common people heard him gladly. And many, even of the priests and rulers, believed on him. But the chief of the priesthood and the leading men of the nation were determined to condemn and repudiate his teachings. Well, because they were into politics and he threatened that. You know, and their power, and their riches, and their sin. But she goes on. She says, though they were baffled in all their efforts to find accusations against them, though they could not but feel the influence of the divine power and wisdom attending his words, yet they encased themselves in prejudice. They rejected the clearest evidence of his messiahship, lest they should be forced to become his disciples. These opponents of Jesus were men whom the people had been taught from infancy to reverence, to whose authority they had been accustomed to implicitly bow. How is it, they asked, that our rulers and learned scribes do not believe on Jesus? Okay, this is how Rome works. When I was Catholic, you had to believe the priest. Whatever he said, that was it. It was the bottom. I mean, he was the sovereign authority. The Bible, well, like that one pastor told me, he says, because I walked through his office, I had like 20 or 30 questions to ask him. That's the first part of my book called The Second Window. That I wrote that, the first part of that book I wrote as a Catholic. Second part I wrote right after I left the Catholic Church and was exposing it. And the third part I wrote as I found out about the Sabbath. So that's just a big old long testimony is all that is. But he told me to stop reading the Bible. It's confusing me because I kept asking him questions. This is, why does the Bible say this and we're doing that? And so this is what you see like right now. It's like if like somebody comes into a Catholic church and or even the SDA. Because I know there's some people here in our number that were disfellowshipped from their precious SDA church, their beloved SDA church. They were disfellowshipped because they came in there showing them what they're teaching is wrong. They opened up a Bible and showed them, and then they kicked them out of the church. But now, from just like what, because I saw this as a kid growing up in the Catholic Church, I see it now in the SDA church where some people are literally taught from infancy now to reverence the leader in the church. This is why the term reverend started appearing in all the denominations. I don't think the SDAs use it yet, but they're gonna. I mean, there's only one Bible verse in the entire Bible that uses that term. If you look it up, oops, misspelled it again. It's Psalms 111 verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. So when a man calls himself reverend, he's blaspheming. He's taking the place of God on earth. And so people will reverence the man over the Lord himself. And this is what Catholicism has done for eons. And now the SDAs are doing. The pastors get so upset and so angry. And you know why they get angry? Because they can't answer your questions. They can't rebuke you because they stop reading their Bibles. And that means they're going to have to go and do a study to try to keep you in the church, and it's just not worth it. You're only giving them like maybe $100 in tithes a month, and so, you know, or maybe $200 in tithes. Right? And it doesn't even go to them. It goes to the general conference, and then the tax write-off happens, and it goes to the pastor as a personal check with the tax write-off built in with the 501c3 thing and all that. And so he really don't care. He'll just give up. Makes it easier for him because, you know, Jesuits don't read Bibles unless they use it to manipulate it. So she goes on. And I'll finish with this because we're creeping up on the time here. She says, would not these pious men receive him if he were the Christ? Oh, let me backtrack a little bit here. These opponents of Jesus were men whom the people had been taught from infancy to revere, to reverence, to whose authority they had been accustomed to implicitly bow. How is it, they asked, that our rulers and learned scribes do not believe on Jesus? Would not these pious men receive him if he were the Christ? It was the influence of such teachers that led the Jewish nation to reject the Redeemer. And the same thing's happening today. Oh, stay with the church. No, no, no. We're the remnant. Oh, the ninth hour, the 11th hour. Yeah, we'll explain that later, but we're the remnant. You can't be the ninth hour and the 11th hour at the same time, but the Seventh-day Adventist Church goes out and tells everybody that they are the remnant of her seed. Well, who's her? Oops. Yeah, that's right. Her is the ninth hour Seventh-day Adventist Church. The Lord's not going to sit there and glorify and speak or even contemplate talking of his son's bride, whether she's obedient or disobedient, by using a Roman Catholic church or a Baptist church or a Methodist. They're all wholly disobedient. He's going to keep it down to a minimum. He doesn't mince his words. He's not going to sit there and talk about all 40,000 different denominations in his Bible. Otherwise, we're going to have to carry a garage everywhere we go just to keep track of what he said. He's going to talk about his own because they're the only ones that are going to be obedient. But now they're messing up. Yeah, the dragon or the devil's still angry at the woman. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, look at all the mess she's made with her truth. But now he's making war at the remnant of her seed. That's us. And so like back then, 2,000 years ago, a lot of people are going to believe their leaders because, hey, did you check it out? Look at that SDR church over there. Look at those campy videos. They got hardly any money. Well, yeah, maybe they get a lot of truth, but, you know, they got no worldliness. That's what they want. I mean, look at the videos that come out of Amazing Facts or some of the videos that come out of Kenneth Cox's ministry or some of the other videos that come out of the 3ABN. They got their own television station. They got money coming out of their ears. They can make all this fancy stuff, but they ain't got a lick of truth. Oh, yeah, they'll borrow on some of the old stuff that was written by the pioneers or Sister White herself, you know, but ask them about what's happening tomorrow. So they can gild the lily all they like. It still ain't going to be the truth, the unadulterated scriptural truth. You know, it's got to be that which is written, and that's why the Lord states in the prophecies in many areas that it's going to be the people you don't expect they're going to have the truth. I mean, look at John the Baptist. He wasn't wearing no designer clothes. He's wearing a loincloth, right? And he's going around eating locust and honey. You know, and Jesus wasn't living in no mansion, even though Kenneth Copeland said he was. And he said he was wearing designer clothes. I don't know what Bible he's reading, but, you know, from what I understand, the foxes is holes, and Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. But Kenneth Copeland, because he's got a massive mansion with his own little airport, you know, he's going to have to say it the other way because he's got to, you know, at least make an excuse for what he's doing. That man's going to die soon, too, by the way. I mean, he's pushing 80, ain't he? I don't think he's pulling it. I think he's pushing it. So, the thing here is, what's happening today is what happened 2,000 years ago. Many people went to their graves rejecting the Messiah because their church leaders rejected him. Well, many people are going to echo Jeremiah 8:20 today because they're rejecting the truth their Savior stated in his scriptures because their pastors are what they're following after. They're going to follow everything that they say. It's like, you know, as a matter of fact, just look up the word smooth in your Bible. Six verses, actually. But I think it's in Isaiah. Yeah, here it is. I'm going to go on and start at verse 9, chapter 30. I'll end with this. Now, this is all the churches. Okay? All of them. Except, of course, the remnant of her seed. And that's not just us, by the way. We are not arrogant. We're not even a big fish in a little pond. We're just a bunch of minnows. Our Lord and Savior is the one directing us. And we're just going to do what he tells us to do. That's all we can do. And if he says you got to light out for a little while before I get here, fine. Verse 9, Isaiah chapter 30. Let me see in the book before time came for. Okay, yeah, I'll start at verse 9. It says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. I mean, they're not saying that verbally, that part there, but boy, their actions do speak louder than words. It's just like when the Seventh-day Adventist Church or anybody in the other churches don't say homosexual marriage is wrong. They may as well said it is. Okay. And we can say that. We can say the Pope is the man of sin. We can say that Allah is not God. Because they can't come to us and say, hey, we're going to yank your 501c3. And now you're going to have to pay excise taxes. Well, we don't have a 501c3. I go to the store, I buy something, I pay tax. It's just that simple. You know, I'm not going to go in and say, yeah, I'm going to have this for my ministry. Yeah. And then buy it tax-free. So, they're preaching smooth things, and they're prophesying deceits. That's why some of the ministers out there at the SDA Church, actually, like that Forerunner guy, he's actually telling people on camera that the Sunday law comes first, and then the loud cry. I literally sent him the quote, as well as some scripture, to show him, oop, you got it backwards, pal. Because him and I, we used to be friends. And when he first started, well, we weren't friends. I mean, he would email me once in a while, and then I subscribed to his videos, and, you know, this was when he was really, really early on. And I really didn't have any friendship, or it was just an acquaintance, like an online thing, like anybody else. But the Bible's plain, as is the script, or as the spirit of prophecy. It's because of the loud cry that they passed the Sunday laws. This is why they're pushing all this climate change agenda fast. As a matter of fact, the U.S. government just stated the other day that climate change is the number one arch enemy of the United States of America. Not ISIS. Oh, no. No. Well, that's because it's them. They really don't have any fear of that because they're the ones doing all these false flag attacks. But still, everybody thinks it's ISIS, right? And so they put that on the back burner and says, no, climate change is our biggest enemy now. We've got the U.S. military is going to concentrate in it. Why is the military, what are you going to do, shoot at the clouds or something? No. They're going to go after people that's exposing them. That's what they're saying. They've got to get the foundation set because the devil knows the latter rain's going to fall. He ain't stupid. He's a super genius, super intelligent, supernatural being. He's an angel. Fallen, yeah, but an angel nonetheless. And he's going to burn, he's going to die. Yeah, but until then, he's got a lot going on between his ears. And so he knows the prophecies better than we do. He don't know the day or the hour, but boy, he can read the signs better than any of us. And he knows that latter rain's going to fall soon. So he's got to set that foundation in play to where he's going to have the ability to go forth and declare that all these calamities are happening because we're not going to church on Sunday. When in actuality, all he's trying to do is just shut us up because we're draining his trophy case. So don't prophesy deceits. Don't send out smooth things. Let them know the truth. It might anger them, might upset them a little bit, but it was heard. They can't unhear it. And eventually, they may be blessed with a watered seed, and they'll become a brother or sister of yours for all eternity. Think of that. Hope and pray you're blessed. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us the way you have in these last days. Thank you so much for keeping that hedge of angels around us so that we can do this work. It's just like that little village during World War II. Not a bullet went through it. But they were surrounded by the war. Thank you for keeping us safe like that, like you promised. And at the same time, thank you for blessing the seeds that you have allowed us and helped us to plant all over the place. And please water them. And please water them in us, too. And thank you so much for forgiving us when we fall short and blessing us with that latter rain so that we can go forth and do even more so that you are glorified. And in your glory, more people will find salvation. And that's why we want to do it. We want to have a lot of family members, you know, in your kingdom. And so thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.